வந்தேகம் ஸ்ரீகுரு.
The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 13th of July, 1975, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you. I have several questions that I would like to raise. I have a long-standing interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this I know is very important to you and to the Chaitanya tradition.
You have seen all the parts published.
There was
which canto you have read?
I'm not thinking so much of the specific canto as the Srimad Bhagavatam as a whole. Is that for you, as you see it, more important than Bhagavad Gita?
No, Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of Simala.
So you would see the two related to each other?
Yes. If one can understand Bhagavad Gita, then he becomes a bona fide student of Simala Bhagavad.
Oh.
Because you have read Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
So Bhagavad Gita, last instruction is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Saranam. You give up all kinds of occupation and just surrender. If one can take it very seriously, understand, then he can enter into the study of Bhagavata. The Bhagavata begins from the point where Krishna left Bhagavad Gita. So he advised that you surrender to me, and Bhagavata begins Satyam Param Dhima. I am worshipping the Supreme Truth. And next verse is Padma Prodhita Kaitava. All cheating type of religious system is rejected. This is rather revolting. Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Pratyaja, give up all types of religious system, just surrender to me. And from that point, Bhagavad begins, all cheating type of religious system is rejected. Yeah. It is meant for the Paravan. Paravanin Masarana, those who are envious, for them is not love. So any materialistic person is envious. It is not meant for the materialistic. Those who are spiritually advanced, one who has understood that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, my direct connection is with God, therefore my only business is to serve God.
So
one who has come to this conclusion, he is called Paramhamsa. Hamsa means swan. The swan, it has got a quality that if you give the swan to drink milk mixed with water, she will drink the milk and reject the water. She has got the capacity. So Paramhamsa means one who has taken the essence of the existence, absolute truth. He's called one.
So you would see the Bhagavad Gita then as accessible to a wide range of people at an elementary level or a beginning level, whereas Srimad Bhagavatam would be for more advanced people.
Not only advanced, very completely advanced. Because so long one will be stay on the material platform, he will be envious of other persons, animal persons. Dog does not like another dog is coming. So unless one is spiritually realized, the dog mentality will remain there. It is said, Nasu Munijasya Matamala Bhinnam. Even amongst the topmost thinkers, if he does not refute other thinkers, he is not a good thinker. That envious. He will not be established a good thinker if he cannot, if a scientist, if he cannot refute the previous scientist, he is not a scientist. This is material. Everyone is envious of the other. So, Bhagavat meant for who is no more envious. Simply loving.
Why is that more necessary for Srimad Bhagavatam than for Bhagavad Gita?
One Bhagavatam, I tell you, this is the counterpart. It's like when you have passed the school examination, then next you admit yourself for degree or graduate degree. Similarly, Bhagavata is the end of education.
And it's
everyone is progressing. When one comes to Srimad Bhagavatam and understands it, then his education is complete.
Then would it be dangerous for someone who is not at that level to study Srimad Bhagavatam? Or would they simply not understand it?
Dangerous means if one is not completely educated of self-realization, he has the risk of degradation.
He has what?
The risk of degradation. Now I have got human form of body, I may degrade to animal. Because transmigration of the soul. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, tatha dehantara prapti. After death one gets another body. Now, what kind of body? That depends on his work. Urdhva gacchanti sattva. If he has done very nicely, goodness, then he will be promoted to the higher planetary system. And if he has not done anything nice, then he will remain here or he will be degraded to the lower planet.
And that is... How does that relate to the question of studying Srimad Bhagavatam?
Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, if one realizes properly, then he gets promotion back to home, back to Lord. He is no more a person to live in this material world. Material world means ups and downs. And spiritual world means steady life of knowledge and bliss.
But if one were to study, read Srimad Bhagavatam, who was not ready for this, not prepared for it, this might throw them into confusion then, or this would be,
no.
Be bad for them? Or would they simply not learn from it?
No. As I told you, our only business is to know the absolute truth. If you do not try for this, then we remain animals. Animal cannot know the absolute truth. So to remain animal means varieties of life. Sometimes cat, sometimes dog, sometimes demigod, sometimes this, sometimes that. Sometimes American, sometimes something else. This is God. Buddha, Buddha, Praliyate. This life we are living, we are making the next one. So, if we work nicely, the next body may be in the higher planetary system or above this material world in the spiritual world.
And the way to progress then is to take to study to learn these things in order, in the proper order.
Yeah.
I remember when I first met Brahmananda in New York. I came there initially in part to because I had been studying Bhagavatam. And I wanted to talk to people in the temple about Srimad Bhagavatam. And they said, what is this? we've heard Swamiji speak of this, but we don't know it. A few years later, you were all sitting around reciting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. You did not begin to teach Srimad Bhagavatam when you first came to the U.S.
No, I taught Bhagavad Gita first. Then
you prepared them with
yes.
Bhagavad Gita and then Srimad Bhagavatam.
You have seen yesterday's procession.
I didn't get to the one yesterday, no.
So unless we are prepared. Ground,
a related question, which is a practical question also. I am collecting material for a kind of source book of readings in Hinduism, contemporary as well as classical, and would like to include in these readings some of the things that you have written. Of the things that you have written, what do you consider most important?
Prema Pumartha Maha. The most important thing is how to love God.
And where of the things that you have written would that come? Where in the things that you've written, where would that message come through most clearly?
Vedanta philosophy. The most important philosophy.
He's asking which one of your books?
Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Which of your books do you consider to be the most important?
Well, beginning from the first canto.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Janmadasitaha. Step by step. First of all, Bhagavad Gita, study nicely. So you can get the idea of absolute truth. And then by studying Bhagavad Gita, by Srimad Bhagavatam, you understand more and more.
But is there any one of the translations or one of the purports or a series of purports of the things that you've published that you think is more clear, more...
Every slope we are describing word to word. So every slope you'll find new idea. There are 18,000
I would react the same way if anyone asked me a question like that.
But in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you do discuss the general.
Oh yes, I'm not saying.
Yes, I've seen it. I'm just wondering what your judgment is on what if you had to say to someone who was going to collect one small section of your work, what would you want them to collect?
That is a status in two verses. You find out this. Janmasya Yabhuvardasya.
The first kid?
Yes. Dharmasya Yabhuvardasya. No, Arthayo Upakalpati. The first thing is that people become religious. Just like in your Christian religion, they go to the church to get some material profit. Oh God, give us our daily bread. This is material problem. Similarly, Hindus or Muslims, they become religious, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, the material activities, those who are actually at monks, those are not even human beings, their philosophy is different. Those are human beings, and their dharma, religion. Then artha, economic development, and then kama, sense gratification, and then moksha, liberation. These four things I have taken as general activities. The Bhagavad says that dharma, religious principle means the ultimate goal is how to become liberated. Not artha. Artha means economic development. So, then question may be, if we are not economically developed, then how shall we live? The Bhagavad says that you can make economic development as far as it maintains your body and soul. Not that making whole life economic development and real purpose of life for you. This is foolishness. So dharma, artha, dharma means religious enhancement means how to get out of this material condition. Not that I go to temple or church, God give me millions of dollars and this and that. This is not true. It is good that one has gone to God to ask some help. That much credit is there. Huh? You have found out the verse?
Yes.
Dharmasya hi apavargasya.
Dharmasya hi apavagyasya natavartaya kopate natasya kamtasya kamalabhaya hi smita. All occupational engagements, dharmas, are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service, dharma, should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification.
Report.
We have already discussed that pure devotional service of the Lord is automatically followed by perfect knowledge and detachment from material existence. But there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. The general tendency of an ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service. Even in the Vedic literatures, for all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered, and most people are attracted by such allurement or blessings of religiosity. Why are such so-called men of religion allured by material gain? Because material gain can enable one to fulfill desires, which in turn satisfy sense gratification. This cycle of occupational engagements includes so-called religiosity, followed by material gain, and material gain followed by fulfillment of desires. Sense gratification is a general way for all sorts of fully occupied men, but in the statement of Sutta Goswami, as per the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nullified by the present shloka. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only, nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. How material gain should be utilized is described as follows.
People are after material gain. They have no spiritual information in what is spirit, what is the need of spiritual realization. You do not. Therefore, they have been described as murhas, fools, and that's good. Those who are after material.
Do you think then that that message is the most important message that you have to convey?
That is the most important message, because you are not this material body. Suppose you have got this heart, if you simply try to maintain this heart, is that very good intelligence, without taking care of your person? Similarly, we are spirit soul, and the body is just like dress. So the whole material world is, everyone is engaged to take care of the body. Nobody knows what is spirit soul, what is its need. Nobody. All these educational institutions, they blind. Andhādhāṁ dhīrupuniyamāna, and the whole system, he is also blind. If a blind man leads another blind man, what is the benefit? No benefit. Therefore, in your country, or every country, it is the blind education. No spiritual enlightenment.
What is the solution there? What is the solution? Devotion to God.
First of all, you know what is spirit. Then as soon as you know that you are spirit, then what from the spirit comes? All right, from everything comes. Then becomes the question of God. And then we understand what is our relationship with God. And then if we act according to that, then it is perfect life.
So that you would see the Gita then as a guide to understanding.
Yes.
In the sense that it starts in chapter 2 with the question of what is Atman.
In chapter 2 it is said, Arjuna was lamenting, and the race shall fight, and the other party, they are my brother, so I'll be sinful. So many problems will come. He was thinking of that. So Krishna first gave him lesson that why you are thinking on the bodily concept of it. You are not body. You are spirit soul. And then he gave spiritual education.
So you must start with what the Gita calls Sankhya Yoga then.
Yeah.
But go on. And go on to Bhakti Yoga.
Bhakti Yoga, he said, last. People are not prepared to take this sublime lesson immediately. Then he has to go step by step. So that is the system of knowledge.
Are there other ways besides Krishna consciousness to reach that same goal?
No.
Or is that the only goal?
That is the only. That is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyavamadhi, if you want to know God and your relationship with God, then only through bhakti, knowledge. There is stated in Bhaktyavamadhi Janati, Javan Jastani Tattva. Otherwise, you will never be able to understand.
But if the highest reality is Purushottama, and Purushottama is manifested in many different ways in the world, can people come to Purushottama through various paths?
Various path means bhakti is the only path. Now, all other paths, they must come to bhakti. Without bhakti, there is no possibility.
But must bhakti be directed to Krishna only?
Because Krishna is Bhagavan. Bhakti means our transaction with Bhagavan. But Krishna is the Bhagavan, Swayam. The original Bhagavan is Krishna.
What about those who would worship Rama? Say?
Rama is Krishna.
Rama is Krishna.
Another form of Krishna. Rama vimutti sukala niyamena tishtana.
What about those who would worship Shiva?
Shiva is just like milk and sugar. The sugar is milk, but it is not milk.
In another form. Then.
You will not derive the benefit of milk from sugar.
But do you get benefits?
Benefits there must be.
Benefits there are, but not the same.
Yeah. Lord Shiva means you get material opulence, but not salvation.
You would see Shiva as more related to material.
Yeah.
There is a passage in Srimad Bhagavatam, I forget where, Vishnu is asked, why is it that the followers of the ascetic Shiva are all wealthy and prosperous people, where the followers of you who are the Lord of the universe are all poor. Is that the way you would see it then, that those who follow Shiva are after more material gain?
A more material gain means to become more intelligent.
More what?
Intelligent. Our problem is birth and death, old age and disease. For them, the liberation, the ultimate liberation, to transfer oneself to the free person.
So you see a clear difference then between those who follow the Vaishnava tradition, which is less worldly, more spiritual.
That is the ultimate
spiritual goal
of life. That is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nati vidu sarthagatin ni Vishnu. People do not know what is the self-interest. The self-interest is to approach Vishnu.
What about Krishna?
Krishna is Vishnu.
Now, what are Christians?
Christian also, that is nice, giving instruction to go back to God. It is not. What is the ultimate goal of Christian religion? What do they desire?
Hard to answer. Huh? There's no clear single goal.
Then, now what is the goal? Single or plural? Doesn't matter.
Well, some Christians would say the vision of God, the ultimate goal is to be.
That is it. To realize God, not only Christian, any religion. That is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pungsang paro dharma jato bhakti adokhari. There may be different types of religious system, but that system is first class, which directly leads one to understand what is God and how to love it. That is perfect religion.
So the question in one sense is not whether it's Christian or Shaivite or Vaishnavite, but whether it is directed to a knowledge of God, a devotion to God,
that is
or not.
That is question.
But you would feel that it is easier to reach that goal by worshiping Krishna?
Yeah. Krishna is the ultimate goal.
But is it easier or better to be a devotee of Krishna?
Yeah.
A Krishna Bhakta than to be a Christian?
Anything genuine is easier. Anything hodgepodge, that is not easy. So we don't recommend hodgepodge.
So the advantage then, or the greater value, is that it is focused and clear, rather than a hodgepodge,
yes.
Where the goal and the activities are not clear.
The hodgepodge has killed the whole world. There are so many pseudo-religious system. People are misled.
So the truth may be there somewhere.
Truth is everywhere.
But you can't find it.
Just like there is butter in the milk, but the milk is not butter. You churn it, and then the butter. Similarly, in every religious system, on every milk there is butter. But churning the milk and giving direct delivery of butter, that is the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad.
And it's more clear there, you would say, than it is in any other tradition.
Yes. Now, God, ask any religious sister, what is God? You can ask. What is God? They cannot explain. And we are saying, here is God, Krishna. So which is better? If you are search after goal, and you do not know what is goal, and if some authorized friend is here is goal, you take it.
So the strength and the value is in knowing.
Oh yes.
Knowing what
that is. That is the only business of human being. To know the absolute truth, God. That is the only reason. Otherwise, what is the difference between cats and dogs and humans? They do not care to know what is God. See, if human being also in the same status doesn't care to know what is God, then what is the difference between dogs and human beings?
See, people, various people read your writings, your commentaries. They react to them sometimes with reservation because they see your writings as dogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
They see your writings. Some people see your writings as dogmatic.
Oh, he is dogmatic.
They say he is dogmatic. Okay. Do you feel that you're a dogmatic, or
no.
Do you...
No. You find out any passage in my book, Dogmatic, then you say dogmatic. Any page you open, where is dogmatic?
Well, dogmatic, to call someone else dogmatic means to start with that you don't agree with what they're saying. In a sense, if I agree with you... And
no,
you
have to agree. Hey, you open any passage of my book.
Well, some people would say to insist that that Krishna is the only way.
No, only thing that God is one. That you have to accept. God cannot be many.
Hmm.
God has got competitor, then he is not God.
Okay.
So if you don't admit Krishna is the only God, then you present who is only God. You see me? Either you have to learn from me, or I have to learn from you.
So,
if you do not know what is God, you cannot say Krishna is not God. As soon as you say Krishna is not God, that means you must know what is God, the present. But if you cannot present, you say, no, I do not know God, then you cannot say Krishna is not God.
Right.
So they are dogmatic. Dogmatically they are saying Krishna is not God. He does not know God, and he says Krishna is not God. So what is this nonsense? You do not know God. How you can say Krishna is not God?
No, I agree with you. I want to get you. if we're dogmatic, we're on the same side.
No, we are not dogmatic. Those people who are talking us as dogmatic, he is dogmatic. He does not know God. And when God is presented before him, he says, no, he is not God. That is dogmatic.
Would you, do you feel that those who have genuine religious, spiritual understanding would not have that kind of argument?
Yeah. I do not say in the Bhagavad Gita it is said that find out this God, Namam Viskitinam Mura Prabhupada Naradhama Maya Pavitavdhyana Asudhi Bhavama Sitaha. Find out, then check.
Namam Viskitinam Mura Prabhupada Naradhama Naya Pita Jnana Ashiram Bhavam Ashutaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me.
As soon as one denies Krishna is not God, then he comes within those categories. Miscreant, rascal, lowest of the mankind, his knowledge is taken away by Maya, and he is a demon.
That's a strong statement.
Krishna is God. If he does not know, then he must be amongst these brutes.
What if someone says Shiva is God?
He may say, but Shastra doesn't say.
So you would
Bhagavad Gita is why. nobody or no principle is greater than me. Then how Shiva can be God? God is great. Here the great says, there is no more greater principle than me. Then who can be God? People say, no, God is great. Krishna says, matta paratamangyanya. Not only he says, but he is confirmed by great authorities like Ramanujaja, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, all the big, big acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vyas Dev, authorities. Krishna is the Bhagavan. So how you can deny?
You refer to Ramanujaja as an important person. Where does he fit into your the Chaitanya tradition? He's accepted as an authority.
Yes.
Sri Bhasha is studied, accepted.
Ramanujaja has written comment on Bhagavad Gita. You know that?
No.
So in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya philosophy is discussed.
So you would see no basic difference between Ramanuja's position and... No,
there cannot be difference.
No.
Because both of them are Vaishnava. Mm-hmm. So this is the common point. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Ramanuja is preaching Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So where is the difference?
No, I don't see a difference. But
people know it,
yeah.
Things equal to the same thing are equal to one another.
What about certain other traditions? Jnanadev, Tukaram, some of the poet saints of Maharashtra.
Tukaram accepted Vishnu as the Supreme. He accepted the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his guru. So there is no difference between Tukaram and Chaitanya.
So Tukaram, you would say, is teaching the same thing as Chaitanya?
Yes. Sankirtan. And Krishna is teaching the same thing. Satatam kirtanam vam yatantasya dhiram vada.
So by saying that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is Chaitanya are the central way, you're not excluding the Pandharapur tradition of Tukaram, Ramavitoba, Vitala, and you're not excluding the Alvars and Ramanuja. But you're saying all of these groups.
Tukaram accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his guru. Then they're very good.
So that Lord Vitoba and Krishna is the same.
Vitoba means Vishnu. They call Vitoba.
And the Alvars, do you? The Alvars of Tamil Nadu.
Alvars.
Alvars.
Yes. That is also.
You would accept their teachings also.
Oh, yes.
So the real question then is Vaishnavas and others.
Yes.
The central
Vaishnava
issue,
and non-Vaishnava.
Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava. Mm-hmm. So that it's not a question of sectarian differences within Vaishnavism, but rather whether one accepts the Vaishnava tradition and the Vaishnava teaching, or whether one does not accept it.
The actual difference is personalist and impersonalist.
And you would see the worshippers of Shiva as personalists?
Impersonalists.
You would see all of them.
The Shankaracharya.
So Shankaracharya, I know he is.
Yes, Shankaracharya's theory is the ultimate, the absolute truth is impersonal. And one can imagine a personal form for the benefit of the worshipper.
But there are some worshippers of Shiva who would be personalists.
No.
You would deny that.
They are all impersonalists. There are panchupasana. Panchupasana means the ultimate absolute truth is impersonal, and Shankaracharya commanded that you cannot worship the impersonal, so you conceive a personal form.
Mm.
So that he recommended five. The sun god, Lord Shiva, Durga, and Ganesh, and Vishnu.
Panchayatma.
But after you are perfect, then you merge into the impersonal. That is Shankara.
And you would see all worshippers of Shiva as following basically that view.
Yeah. No, there are devotees, just like we offer all respect to Lord Shiva. We consider Shiva as the best of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha sambhu. And we have got sampradaya from Shiva. He is considered one of the authority of Vaishnavism.
So you would include...
Our conception of Shiva is different.
Where would Vasavana fit in? Where would you place Vasavana in relation to Vasavana? Lingayat teacher. Shaivite.
He's impersonal.
You would say impersonal.
Oh, yes. They say Sivoham. I am Sivoham. They're impersonal. If you are Shiva, then why are you worshipping Shiva? That is impersonal.
So any position which would deny the difference between the devotee and God, you would see
is impersonal.
Is impersonal.
The impersonal theory is that I am now devotee. As soon as I become perfect, I become one.
Oh.
That is the thing. Then there is no more difference. In the preliminary stage, when I am not perfect, I am worshipping some imaginary form of God. But when I become perfect, there is no need of worshipping, I become one. This is impersonal. Now, actually, the Supreme has no form, so they recommend whichever form you like to achieve, you can select out of this five. But their destination is the same. So somebody likes, I worship Shiva, somebody says, I worship Ganesh, somebody says, I worship Durga, or Surya, or somebody says, I worship Vishnu. So this Vaishnava is impersonal. you find among smarter Brahmins, there also some of them Vaishnavas, but they're impersonal.
So you would say that those smarters say, and I know smarter Brahmins who are worshippers of Vishnu. You would say they still are impersonalists in some ultimate sense, because at some point they would deny.
No, it is very difficult to pick them out. Most of the so-called Vaishnavas, they're impersonal.
Some, I suspect, are more Vaishnavas than they are smartest.
Satatam kirtan dharma.
Satatam kirtayanto mam yatam tascha dridhavrataha namasyam tascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion.
Perpetual. It is not that I am worshipping now, and when I am perfect, I become one. And that is impersonal.
But someone who sees devotion as not just a state.
But there is everything one. No devotee, no devotion, and no person. Everything becomes one.
So that would then be the deciding test, as it were, of whether one were a serious devotee or not.
Devotee means only serious that one is
devoted. Not only that one is devoted now, but that one sees the the goal as perpetual devotion.
Yeah.
And which never is there.
The word is used, nitya yukta. Nitya yukta means perpetual. If a devotee is to merge into the existence of the Lord, then why this word is used, nitya-yukta? Upasana. Not only nitya-yukta, upasana. Upasana means he worships. As soon as the word is he worships, that means he worshipable, and the mode of worship and the worshipper must be there. So that is indicated nitya yukta, perpetual. But the Mayamadis are these impersonalists. And they think that it is temporary. I am devotee, temporary. As soon as I become perfect, I become one.
So that you would see then in terms of some kind of theological structure. You would see the Purushottama as always
Uttam. Uttam means the best.
Always superior.
Yes.
Always.
That is the word, Purushottam. Purushottam means supreme or superior. So there must be inferior, otherwise, how is superior? Is it not? As soon as he is the superior, professor or the Adhista, junior or senior. As soon as the senior, they must be junior. And without junior, there is no question of senior.
So that the Purushottama always stands beyond, always is other in addition to being also everything that there is.
Unless he is eternally there, then how the devotee will eternally nitya yukta upasana? Whom to worship? Nitya Yukta Upaya. Unless Purushottam is everlasting Purushottam, then what is the question of worship, everlasting? But the Mahavadis, they do not understand.
But would you, do you equate then the impersonalists and the Mayavadis, are they the same?
Almost the same.
At some point I suppose they would almost have to be, because to be an impersonalist you would have to deny the ultimate reality of phenomena, which would make you a Mayavadi.
They accept this form of God as Maya. Therefore we call them Mayavadi.
Any form of God. Including the Purusha. So that your central insistence, or certainly one of your central insistences, would be that the ultimate reality is personal, that it is known as Vishnu, possessing all qualities.
That is taken in Bhagavatam. Bhaganti tat tatta vidastatyam jadgyanam adhyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti. The human life is meant for understanding the tattva. Then the question will be, what is that tattva or ultimate truth? And then in this kind, the tattva is realized in three phases. Brahma, impersonal Brahma, Paramatma, localized Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
So the mistake of the impersonalist then is to identify the complete reality with Brahman, which is only one aspect of the complete reality.
That's like finger. Finger is one of the items of the whole body. He can say, yes, the finger is my body. But the finger is not the whole body. Similarly, everything is part and parcel of the whole. But that does not mean that everything is whole.
And these realities are in a hierarchy. That is, in the sense that Brahman, Paramatman.
Brahma with him. Brahma, you are Brahma, I am Brahma. The table is Brahma. Sarvamidam khalu Brahma. Because it is the manifestation of Brahma. Brahma realizes. Just like here in this room, daytime there is sun. The sun is 93 miles out. And this is millions. But wherever there is some sign, you can say, here is some.
So that the problem is not the identification of everything with Brahma, which is correct, but the failure to realize that there is the Paramatma, or the Purushottama, which is beyond this.
I have got so many branches, 100 branches. So, as you all know, that I am everything. But that is the thing I am present as you. My energy is working. Paper, 100,000 copies, you
record my speech, and they will speak the same thing that I am speaking, but I am not there. And that is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatamidam sattvam jagatam bhakta mokshena mokshani sarva bhutani naham tesuva hoti. Everything is God, but God is not everything. He is simultaneously one and different. We therefore say that everything is God, but not that everything is, not that God is everywhere. But because everything is God, everything, with everything you can realize.